Blog Talk Radio.
Like I'm talking to you. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries. We are an interactive Bible study. What is that? I'm glad you asked. An interactive Bible study is an opportunity for you to call in and interact with those who are online so that we can just lift up the word of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's almost like we're all sitting around the table and just having a discussion about the word of God and what a blessing that is. So for those of you that are listening by internet, if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. You call in and you would hit the number 1, and you would be connected to the online talk. If you would like to chat by internet, you can just chat a question, and we will share that, whatever it is that you sent in on the chat line. Amen? We do thank you. Also, we'd like to remind you that any episode that we have done on Blog Talk Radio for the last 3 years, you can go back and you can pull it up in the archives. All right? And that's Blog Talk Radio. Then you go in, type in We Can Begin Again, and that will take you to the archive, and you can pull up any one of the talks that we've had. So once again, we do thank you for tuning in. We're going to have prayer. And this, after we have prayer, we're going to have my beautiful wife, Dr. Suzanne Clay, is going to be talking this evening, and we're going to just share what the word, what the Lord has laid on her heart. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise. Father, we ask that as we go through this internet, which is something new, Father, we just pray that it would be a blessing to the ears, to the hearers, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would all be in agreement with thus says the Lord. Father, we're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to be encouragers one for another. And then, Father, we just ask, Lord, that your word, Heavenly Father, would be a light to those, Heavenly Father, who may be confused or going through some challenges. We pray, Lord, that your word, Heavenly Father, would penetrate, Heavenly Father, their hearts and minds, Heavenly Father, that somebody who may be lost or someone who is struggling, Heavenly Father, would come to want to know this Jesus Christ that we talk about. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that your word, Heavenly Father, would increase as we decrease. Father, we thank you for all that you've done, and we give you honor and glory for what you're going to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, we're going to move on in. We have Dr. Suzanne Clay, and her topic this evening is offense, the devil's hook. And she's coming from Proverbs 19:11. Amen, amen, amen. Once again, we thank you for tuning in.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord, and thank you for joining me here this evening. You know, as I teach, I'd like to take advantage of the fact that we're able to communicate with one another, so please feel free to hit number 1 on your phone, and that will indicate that to us that you would like to be able to interject something or join in the conversation, and at any time, because this is a discussion. It's a discussion. And from my perspective as a teacher, I know that all of us have experience and a connection with the Lord, that I know that most of the people that listen and tune in during the week too are very active and understand. When we say interactive, we really mean interactive. So let's begin with the scripture. The scripture is Proverbs 19, verse 11. So Proverbs 19, verse 11 reads, and I'm going to read it from the Living Bible first. It reads, a wise man restrains his anger and overlooks insults. This is to his credit. Tonight we're going to talk about avoiding offense, avoiding overreactions to situations, avoiding the use of our imagination, which would hold on to offense. How do we overlook faults? Again, as I said, I'm a teacher. I teach a class on diversity and teaching teachers about social diversities within the classroom and how to interact or will they minister to their students and to the parents and the community and even their coworkers when they may be of a different culture than them? And when I say culture, I mean I'm talking about not just race and ethnicity, gender. I'm talking about their spiritual culture, their religion. I'm talking about physically, whether they are challenged or not. I'm talking about sexual orientation, gender, socioeconomic, so those different areas. So how do you interact with people that come from a different culture than you? And oftentimes, the students that I've gone through the different scenarios over the year and the different, over the semester rather, and the different modules, a student will ask, and most recently we just finished up this semester, student says, well, what if I get into the classroom or I'm in my school and I make a mistake? Or how do I know when to be offended? Like if somebody says something to me about so-and-so, should I be offended? You know, and so she was unsure of what to, how her reaction should be if she were offended or if she were to inadvertently offend someone else. And I told her on the case where someone has become offended with something that she has said or done, that she should ask for forgiveness immediately. Once she knows that she has said something that has offended someone, to ask for forgiveness. She faced the task and asked for forgiveness. And in the case of someone possibly saying something that offends her, I told her to think of it that they didn't know, that it was out of ignorance that they said or did something. And when I say ignorance, I'm not saying that they were stupid or poor. I'm saying that they just didn't know, that possibly they just didn't know. That not to wear your sleeve, your feelings on your sleeve, that sometimes people make mistakes or say things that are offensive, that may be offensive. But we don't have to become offended. So let's look at what the Bible says about it. John Rittenbach says that when the Bible speaks of offense, it refers primarily to some act or series of acts which led another into sin. So we can look at hurt and resentment and anger, and those could be minor things that somebody says, I'm sorry, and then that's the end of it. But those hurt feelings, resentments, and angers can also take root, and if a person is to hold on to them, they can be easily dealt with if you face it off head on in the very beginning when the incident first happens. But if it lingers, it can take root in a person's life, and it can become an irritant and an annoyance. And unfortunately, we as human beings have the inclination to become very bitter and hold grudges and bear grudges against those that we feel have offended us. The interesting thing about it is that sometimes these people that have offended us aren't even aware that they have offended us. So if we haven't confronted it or mentioned it, they've gone on about their business and you're holding on to an offense for years of something that someone had no intention of saying or doing or may not even be aware of. But we have to be careful of that. So we're avoiding, how do we avoid overreaction to situations? How do we avoid that? We're people, we're easily provoked to anger, we're easily provoked to fear. That's what 19 says. We live in an age where people are easily provoked toward anger or fear. However, the Bible teaches us that a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. So what are the guidelines to overlooking an offense? In our Bible study, I have a Bible study that I've been a part of for the last, I think it's been 5 years now, with some ladies, and we just finished the book, The Bait of Satan. And if you haven't read this book, I really suggest that you get it. It's a good book to read, with prayers, affirmations, and a study guide, but it goes through how the enemy tries to bait us in with the trap of being offended. The author of the book is Joshua. But in this book, he talks about how the little things can offend us and they turn into something major, and that we go on with our imagination and make it into something so out of context or out of proportion to the initial conflict. We don't want to bring anyone to sin. We don't want to bring anyone to sin. So how does an offense bring us to sin? Well, let's see, look at what the scripture tells us to do. Anyone who causes a Christian who manifests a childlike attitude to sin or places anything in his way to impede his faithfulness will be better off being weighed down and thrown to his death and into the sea. That's the millstone parable, that to cause someone to fall, to cause someone to enter into sin, that is the sin of offense. Offense is a sin. To cause them to hold an offense, you'd be better off putting a millstone around your neck. You know, what is a millstone? We talked about that some time ago, the millstone being the grinding stone that was used to crush wheat and to crush the olives for the olive press for olive oil and the meat from the olives. To have that around your neck like a anvil or an anchor, to be thrown into the sea with an anchor around your neck. Like there's no way you're going to get loose from it, that you'll be holding on to it. So it's best to let go of offenses. Do we have any comments?
Any comments?
Okay. So when do we find offenses? Who offends us? The enemy makes sure. And if you think back in your life, the only people who can truly cause you to come into deep offense is those people that are closest to you. So your family, the people who love you, the people who should love you, the people who you have an intimate relationship with, that you've had an ongoing relationship with. Those are the people that you would be most often offended by. So your spouse, your children, your parents, people that you work closely with, if you've been on the job for a long time, people that you work closely with day in and day out. Remember, we spend more time with people at school and people at work than we spend with our own family, you know. So you can become easily offended with them. People in church, if you've been in your church any time, we as Christians have to be very, very careful of that, because these offenses will set up in church too, and which will cause church division in ministry, division in the, you know, splits in churches and so forth. Because the enemy will get in like that. We try to think of the enemy as this somebody in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork, but he's so subtle that he will use the people that you love to set up an offense. That's why, going back to Proverbs 19:11, it's wisdom not to become angry, not to be easily offended. It's wisdom to let transgressions pass, to assume that they didn't know that what they said offended you, or choose not to take offense. It's a choice. So when we become offended, it is a choice to become offended. It is a choice. And that's something that we have to truly understand. When we think about Jesus and John the Baptist, we think about Jesus. John the Baptist had done all the groundwork that he laid for Jesus. He had, you know, ministered. He had talked about this new way from the Lord, and that we're not going to be living under the law, and talk about baptism, and he's going around teaching and preaching and laid the groundwork for Jesus. And then John the Baptist was in prison, and John the Baptist even lost some of his followers who went from following John the Baptist to following Jesus. So he could easily become offended, because remember, that was his cousin, they're related, he was doing so much for Jesus, he could have taken offense and said, well, Jesus should have been here to see me. Jesus should have spoken up and gotten me out of jail. Jesus should have done such and such. What happened to all the people that loved me? He could have been offended by them, that they, you know, he could have taken that as an offense, that they changed camps and they weren't following him anymore, but now they're following and supporting Jesus, and nobody is coming to get me out of jail. Nobody's talking about John the Baptist anymore. They're all talking about Jesus now. How is that, God? You know, what's up with that? He could have taken offense to that, but when Jesus sent a message back to John the Baptist about what was going on, he also told him not to be offended, not to take heart, and not to be offended. So the Lord knew that our human nature would be to become offended. Any comments?
I'd like to make a comment on that, and how I see that in terms of when someone is making an offense and becomes easily bothered by that. That reminds me of someone who is hot-headed or impatient. Someone who is hot-headed or impatient. Someone who's hot-headed, meaning that they don't take time to listen, they're quick to respond, and impatient. Rather than just walking away from it. And like how I see Proverbs, I look at Proverbs as being someone who was prudent, which is just the opposite. You know, Jesus Christ is asking us to be prudent and patient. So whenever someone angers or says anything that is affecting us, that we're not to be impatient, but we are to be patient. I know that's how it is toward my age group, and I know that when we look at the youth, we have our daughter here, Deaconess Alicia Reese, who is visiting from out of Indiana, and I'm just curious in terms of from the millennial side, from the youthful side, how do the youth respond when someone is offended? Or how do they handle that from a youthful perspective? How do you see that?
A Christian youth perspective, is that correct?
Right.
Okay. Well, I know that a lot of people around my age, I'm 28, so around my age and younger especially, this day and age, if you get offended, then everybody has to take part in it. Everybody has to be mad because you got offended by whoever, by whatever. It's like people, especially younger than me, will, you know, they feel they have a lot of pride issues, so they feel that the world owes them, you know, something, and they feel that, you know, they need to be catered to. And if somebody hurts their feelings, if somebody offends them, then somebody needs to do something about it.
Okay, so in other words, when you say somebody needs to do something about it, meaning that they have to respond, you know, out of anger, you know, and that's when hostility comes in and fighting or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, take up.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that's just so
specific. But that's not just for youth.
Mm-hmm. Wait, go ahead. Someone.
No, I was just saying, that's not just the youth. Yeah, and I understand what you're saying, sister, because, you know, it comes down to taking sides. You know, when that individual is offended, if I'm getting this right, what you all are saying, if that individual is getting, you know, hurt or there's an offense, and then who's around them, they would take that individual's side and basically go against the other person that offended that one, if I'm explaining that good, if you understand what I'm saying. It's almost like we're drawing lines in the sand because I offended Dr. Suzanne, so that means that instead of us getting it together, then Brother John, he's going to be angry with me too because her and I have a conflict. You know what I'm saying? And that's not just the youth. That goes across the board. And then that's where, like you were saying, Doctor, that's where the division comes, you know,
right?
Because right then and there, we need to clear it up. Or we don't need to be. Because the Lord told me a long time ago, he said, don't be so easily offended, because they have offended me as well. So don't you try to put on what I do, and don't be so easily offended. But just like the Bible said, if your brother, if you have like a offense or aught against your brother, then you go to that. You go to that individual and say, you know what, you stepped on my toe, and I didn't like it. You know, it hurt me. So I'm sharing that with you now. Then, like you said, doctor, don't let it stay within yourself so it will fester. And then that offense becomes bitterness. Mm-hmm. And then it's like,
the things that people do, it's crazy. Instead of confronting the offense and talking to the person who the offender, they'll go and tell someone else.
Yeah.
You know? And that builds it up, and you spread the word, and the Lord tells us not to do that, that we're not to do that, we have to carry it on, because that is sin, too, to keep something going, to speak ill of our brother.
Yes, because then what happens is we cause discord amongst the brethren, and the word of God says about that. He talks about that.
Exactly.
This is a very good topic. This is very good.
Let's take that to the church. That it, with the church members, if it was an infraction and someone is offended, they haven't, instead of confronting the person, they go and tell my husband tell his friends, I tell my girlfriends at Bible study, and call say that I want you all to pray about this, which turns into gossip, and then they go and they tell their folks, and my children know. So I just, you know, cause an unpleasant situation and an unnecessary situation in the congregation, which could have been put to sleep if I had just gone to the person with the offense and talked to them about it. And I'm not saying that we need to confront the offense, because there are times when you should just let it go. But like you said, it's wisdom. It takes wisdom. Wisdom on whether you should say something, or reason whether you should just be quiet. The Holy Spirit can confront the person, because that person may even come back and say, you know what, I was kind of curt with you when I said such and such, and I don't think that was, you know, that you deserve that. Or I could have handled that a little bit better. That's the Holy Spirit's job, you know, with the person. But the enemy uses any kind of way to cause division in the body of Christ, in the family, in our churches, within our community, and among Christians, among Christians. Now, just imagine, here's the other piece, is that on the job, let's take a situation on the job, and, you know, you're a Christian, so-and-so is a Christian, and this other Christian has offended you. People are watching you. How are you going to handle it? And if you handle it just like the world, their first it's going to be about hypocrisy, because that's what it is. We're supposed to be above that. We're supposed to be above that. If in your family, if you have someone who's written somebody out of the will, or people that aren't talking, and I can't come because Cousin Joe's going to be there, and I can't sit at the same table with Aunt so-and-so, it's the same thing. You need to put that to sleep. Don't let the enemy have a foothold in your relationship.
Right.
Let's go back to why Jesus called offenses bait. Therefore, the word scandalon means trap, and Jesus and the trap translates to offenses. So you could say, I'm going to set up a scandalon to catch the cops or whatever, but it means offenses. It usually means offenses, and I think that's Hebrew. It means offenses, and it means trap. And that's exactly what the enemy uses. He uses that as bait for us. So it might be a trigger word. It might be a trigger concept. You may call me a name that offends me, or I heard somebody say a name that offends me, so then a wall immediately goes up, and I feel the offense. You know, I'm offended by what such and such said because he used a derogatory word. You know, I heard it, and he could have been talking about me. So, so division happens, you know, at work and on the job, in the family, on the church. And the same thing happens over and over and over and over again. And if we're being hypocritical, we might as well call ourselves atheists, because we're not operating the way the Lord would have us to operate. That we're not operating in prudence and in forgiveness and in truth and honesty and in love. We're not operating that. And so we have to be careful of what we're professing by the way that we carry ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Praise God. Praise God.
That's a good word.
Mm-hmm. So let's go on. Proverbs 18:19 says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle."
Mm.
So once you've offended your brother, or your brother has, or you've been offended, it's hard to sway them back if you let it fester.
Right.
We talk about the bitter roots. I think that's been a couple years ago, about letting roots grow deep. And sometimes we even forget what the offense was, but we remember
the anger.
The hate.
Yeah.
You know, we forget why. I don't know why we don't like him. We just don't like him anymore. Okay. Or when we talk about cultural things, we have so many offenses that are so embedded in different cultures, and you all know what I'm talking about. When we talk about and the hot button, it's always going to be racism. When we talk about politics in the United States, because it has not been resolved. But if we could come to a resolution, at least in the body of Christ, that when we deal with our brothers, regardless of what their skin color, that we have a difference, that we are forgiving, and that we're not operating from a standpoint of offense, that we're not harboring judgment, because the only right judge, God's word, Matthew 7:1-5, says, "Judge not, that you be not judged." So if I go into a relationship or meet someone, and because they're white, immediately I'm thinking that they, you know, they must be the grand wizard of the KKK's grandson or whatever, because of the way they, what could they be saying to themselves, because it has been embedded in our culture. So we as Christians have to take a step to move out of that. We have to take a step to do things a little bit different, to do what does not come natural, what is not of the world, because we can avoid things that are unpleasant and unnecessary if we choose to act Christ-like rather than world-like.
That's good. That's good. Amen.
I wanted to, there was a scripture.
Amen.
Okay, Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age." This is the Amplified Version. "Fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you." Praise God. So we can't be conformed to the things of the world. The world says that you have a right to be angry. You have a right to cuss them out. You have a right to be angry. You have a right to stomp out of the church. You have a right to leave your family. You have a right to sue somebody. The world says that. The world says that because it's selfish. It's all about your rights. You have a right that somebody offended you, that you can do such and such and such and such. But God's word is about, and Jesus was about relationships and love, and about love, to speak peace, to speak life to one another. The Holy Spirit did not come for us to operate in this. He wants us, we can't have both things going on at the same time. The Holy Spirit won't be part of it. If you're living your life according to the world with disagreements and jealousies and holding on to grudges and so forth, how can the Holy Spirit possibly be living in you?
That's good right there.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
So we have, as Christians, we have to be careful and be aware that the enemy holds the threat of offense over us. Holds that threat, not, I shouldn't say over us, but he's waiting. He's waiting to sneak it in with us. He's waiting to sneak it in. He's waiting for you to be offended at the grocery store when someone doesn't wait on you but waits on somebody else. Maybe they didn't see you. He's waiting for the child who gets mad because the teacher didn't call on them and their hand was up. But maybe the teacher's trying to get someone else to talk to. You know?
Yeah.
The enemy's waiting for an opportunity for your husband to not pay attention to you.
Amen.
So to come up with your imagination on what he must be thinking, why you don't deserve that. The enemy is waiting for a way to put in these offenses and get them in deep enough so that it can draw a wedge between you and whatever relationships you may have.
That's good.
He's waiting. He's in the church. So the choir to sing the lead this time, and you just gonna go someplace else where your gifts will be more appreciated.
Wow.
Another thing that we learned in this Bible study was that we jump from relationship to relationship. You know, a new circle of friends, job to job, church to church. Because they just didn't treat you right, or they didn't appreciate your gift, or you were worth more than that, or you could do better. But basically, you jump right back into something that's similar because the problem just may not be everybody else, it just may be you.
Amen. Amen.
When you're carrying guilt and pain, if you leave a place in anger, if you leave a place feeling offended and like someone hurt you or you didn't get your chance or they didn't appreciate your gifts or they didn't appreciate how good you were and you smarter than everybody else in the place and you have more degrees and you've been there longer and so forth. And then you go someplace else, but you didn't leave the first place in peace. God didn't give you permission to leave the first place.
That's
and you
good
take
right
all
there.
All of your confusion with you to the new place.
Yep.
And then after being at the new place for a while, they start doing the same thing. Well, you just drug those same spirits into the church.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that with Jonah and the whale. When the seamen picked up Jonah, and they wanted to know, like, what in the world is going on? Why are we having all these problems? Maybe everything was fine until we picked up Jonah. We want to get Jonah out the boat. Jonah needed to go back and do what he was supposed to do.
Right.
So
right.
It's the same thing when it's in life when we talk about relationships. If you break fellowship and you haven't been given God's permission if you don't leave the place better than when you got there, then you're not finished there. If you're leaving and you haven't been given permission to leave, then you're out of order. So when
right.
you think about these things, that when you take that anger, when you take the offense, when you take the disappointment, when you take the arrogance of thinking that you are, you know, that you were the best choice for so-and-so and they passed you up for ministry or the other examples that I've given, when you take that to your new church home or your new husband or your new family or your new job, new neighborhood, and you the same, something's wrong.
Wow. So
something's
true.
Wrong. Praise God.
And we don't give God time to perfect us, you know. Just
Amen.
Like you said, we're going somewhere else, and God is trying to take things out of us and put things in. And we're so anxious that we're not getting our way. So we storm off. And then we don't even wait until God perfects it. And like you said, Doctor, then you're going with your issue somewhere else.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's so good.
Hi. Good evening. This is Sister Brenda in Florida.
Amen.
And this is such a good lesson, a good topic.
It really is.
The beginning of the month, my pastor was going over these very same points that the doctor made, the sister made, the very about offense. And I just wanted to say, this is really good. And, that last point about the church and the family, unfortunately, so many of our Christian brothers and sisters have so much church hurt because of offense. And instead of examining yourself first,
Amen. Amen.
Before you take offense, Amen. Then... you wouldn't have offense a lot of times with the other person. If we remember that it's the enemy who is trying to divide us, and he used any means necessary. He uses jealousy. He uses hatred, like how so many Christians hate someone else because of the color of their skin or how they're treated because of their color. Forgetting that God loves everybody,
Amen.
Everybody. But that offense takes root because the enemy gets his foot in the door through the jealousy, through the strife, through anger. It's his stuff, his weapons that he used against us. But if we would examine ourselves first, whether it's at home, at the workplace, or in our churches, if we would just examine ourselves first, we will find that a lot of times it's him, and the way to fight against him is to pick up the Word of God and let the Word of God cleanse you from
Amen.
Any offense that you may feel towards someone else.
Amen.
I just
Amen.
Wanted to say that.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Good word. It's such a good word.
It really is.
I suffered from offense and didn't even realize I was suffering from offense for many, many years. And when it hit me in the face, I was like, oh, okay, devil, you're a liar. I love God and I know he loves me. And I'm not going to take offense from someone else or from something that the enemy is trying to use against me. Yes, and I'm going to face up to it. If somebody says something, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, because that's another thing, learning when to open your mouth and when
Amen.
To shut up.
Amen.
I'm learning when to open my mouth and when to shut up. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will tell you to be quiet. And then other times he tells you so that nothing settles in you and take root in you.
That's right.
And so you have to tell somebody, you know, I didn't really appreciate what you said. And it was something that I said to you that would cause you, you know, and in love. We got to do things in love. That's the top of the recipe ingredient list is in love. Do everything
Amen.
In love.
Amen.
And I'm learning. Amen. I'm learning.
Amen.
Because I don't want the enemy is not going to win over my life.
Amen.
Not when Jesus done died for it.
It's a good word. It's a good word.
So you can say love. I want to read from John Rittenbaugh. He said that when love dominates a person's life, becoming offended either through hurt feelings or a strong temptation is sin, to sin is remote. But when pride dominates, hurt feelings or strong temptations to sin seem to lie behind every wound. So it's that prideful person that becomes offended easy. So we have to pray against being prideful, to forgive quickly, to, you know, to be careful not to wear our feelings on our sleeve, and as we avoid temptation, and as the sister just said, to be able to see it as quickly as possible. Because the enemy is cunning. He's gentle and cunning, very slick. And he'll sneak it in on you before you know it. You won't even realize that you've been offended or that you're harboring offense until somebody points it out to you, as our sister just said, or until, you know, until it's brought up to you. So it's so easy for all of us. It's so easy, and especially for people that are in ministry.
Amen.
Especially for people that are in ministry. Because people in ministry try to say, will push it off and say, try to pretend like nothing bothers them.
Right.
Like nothing bothers them. I'm tough skin. But if you let it harbor, that's where it does the damage. And you have broken people who have left the ministry, who are estranged to their churches and families and whatever, because of the bitter roots that they allow to become established. I want to read Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. In the Living Bible, it says, "For there are two things the Lord hates, no seven: happiness, lying, murdering, plotting evil, eagerness to do wrong, a false witness, and sowing discord among them." And that's what the offense does. Now, I'm not saying, I know that the murder may be something that you say, well, I would never murder. But when you think about people where the root of offense has gotten so deep that they have come to that point, that's part of it. So with every thing the enemy plants, there's always something more that comes with it. With every sin, my grandmother always said, and you all heard me say, the enemy will make you think that makes not greasy. He'll make you think everything with the sin is okay. You have a right to be upset. You have a right to be angry. But he doesn't tell you about the root of bitterness and anger and evil that comes along with that so-called right to hold on to an offense, that you become prideful, that you become haughty with it. Well, who did they think they were?
Amen.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I got right, you know? Or lying and twisting the offense around to win other people. Give their false witness by gossiping and sharing other people and being prideful and evil. The eagerness to do wrong is a sin. It's a sin. Plotting evil against someone when you think that the revenge is yours instead of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's worse than vengeance is mine. We're not supposed to plot on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone has done you wrong, you're supposed to shake the dust from your feet. Well, you know, the systems you go through. Listen, when it's a brother, if it's somebody that's not in the Lord, there are things that you should do too, but you pray about it. We're supposed to commit it to prayer.
Amen.
We're staring at this, and we're holding on to a sense. We're saying that I'm more powerful than God is. I have the right to do this, and I can handle it. And that is satanic work all the way.
Amen.
All the way.
Amen.
And he will take what you give him as far as an opportunity. Any opportunity he gets to dig in. We're worshiping a false God when we put ourselves over the Holy Spirit and God in our lives. We're worshiping a false God. Christians may say, well, no, I don't do that. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved in such and such. I got baptized and sold, you know, these Mount Zion Baptist Church in 1974 and such and such and such and such. But if I'm not living the life, if I'm not turning it over to the Lord, then I'm operating in witchcraft. I'm not I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, because it's not about me. It's not about self-indulgence. It's about the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's not about me being right. It's about the love of Christ. It's not about me having my will or having a right to be angry or having my right upheld and so forth and love people treating me good. It's not about me being intolerant. It's about the love. It's about love. Jesus' entire message was about love and relationship. Not about the law, about love and relationship. That's what it was always about. That's what it's always been about.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy is to break that. I'm sorry, do that, please.
No, I was just saying, I'm glad you said witchcraft, because a lot of us in the body of Christ thinks it's hocus pocus, but it's what you're saying, all that you were saying. People don't even realize that we can go further, and we can go further, and how we act and what we say, and bring it, it's witchcraft.
Amen.
Witchcraft.
It is.
It's witchcraft, and we don't even think about it that way, but that's what it boils down to.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And it is witchcraft. And I know that a lot of folks, my husband talks about the spiritual warfare, and that's what we are. So every day we have to live to help us to operate in love and humility. And that we not operate in disunity and in division. We have to ask the Lord for that, because the enemy would have us do that. So we need to take authority over disunity and division. We need to take authority over offense. Take authority over the things that the evil one would have us to do to cause hostility and division in our relationships with our family, in our relationships with our coworkers, and relationships within the body of Christ. We need to take authority over those things.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good word.
So what are some of the things that we can do to avoid overacting? Well, one of the things you can do is to choose your words carefully. That we know that a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Use your words carefully. We also know that life and death is in the power of the tongue, so we want to be careful with what we say and how we talk to one another, how we to treat each other gently, even with our words.
Amen.
We want to choose our companions carefully. We want to make sure that our companions are those that we consider companions. I know, and I'm not saying that you get to choose the people you work with. We don't even get to choose the folks we live with. Our family, unless you're married to a guy like my husband.
But
the people at church. But you do get to choose those in your close circle, you know, those that you would consider a companion, those who would be close friends. You get to choose those people, and we should choose them carefully. You want to choose people that aren't gossipers and backbiters. You want to choose people that don't keep sadness and offense going and always feel that they're in competition, people that are jealous acting, jealous-minded. You want to choose people that operate in love.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Praise God. And that's Psalm 1:1-2. Another thing you want to do, point three, is what you want to accomplish. So before reacting, what do you want to accomplish? If you want to talk to your brothers about an offense, that they had offended you, what do you want to accomplish from that? Do you want to just tell them off and tell them that they made, you know, that they did so-and-so and they owe you an apology? If that then your purpose for confronting them is totally
futile. Yeah.
We're not looking for apologies. We're not looking for someone to build us up and stroke us. We're looking to put an end to the offense that the enemy was trying to plant, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you, how good you are and how brave you were to come, because it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want to accomplish? If you want to accomplish to accomplish a fellowship, to reestablish fellowship, that's a biblical reason to confront it. If you want to put it into hostility or put it into any rumors or whatever, that's a good reason. If you want to repent, if you want to make peace, that's the best reason. Is it out of love that you want to talk to the person? That's what you need to think of. So number three was choose what you want to accomplish. Number four is choose what kind of effect that you may have, that you want to have on others. So what do you want? What kind of effect do you have on others? You want to have the reputation of being a fast talking, you know, finger pointing person, or a person who is loving and humble. Do you want to have the effect of having a reputation of someone that folks need to avoid because she'll get you told real quick? Or do you want to have the effect of a person who is loving and kind and patient, and that she'll be patient with you and she's understanding and she doesn't hold grudges? She's not easily offended. You have to choose your attitude. What kind of attitude do you have? Remember, your attitude will develop your altitude. If you have a good attitude, the Lord will raise you up. If you have a good attitude among our brothers and sisters, they'll include you. What's your attitude? Is it one of hatred? Is it one of evil? Or is it one of Christ-like love? You have to choose God's greater purpose. Will the kingdom get the victory from this? If not, leave it alone. Choose to restrain your tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We have to be careful what we say. Like we said, choose godly counsel. Choose to guard your tongue. Sometimes you just need to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just don't have to respond. It's okay not to have a response. Choose to pray about your response first. What is the Lord telling you about your response and how to approach it? Is the Lord giving you permission? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Choose to ponder your decision. Think about it a while. Give it thought. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Proverbs 21, 5. 10, choose which battles are worth fighting. Some battles just are not worth it. But everybody's not going to be at the same level of spiritual maturity. So you have to choose after you've prayed, after you've sought the Lord, after you've given it some, after you've waited, you have to know that some battles just are not worth fighting. Many problems are just not worth fighting for. I have fought the good fight, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firmly held to the faith. 2 Timothy 4 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
I see that we only have a few seconds left, and I want to end with a really quick prayer. I'm going to take it from John Bevere's book on and I hopefully I can get through it in 60 seconds. Father, in the name of Jesus, I acknowledge that I have sinned against you by not forgiving those who have offended me. I repent of this and ask your forgiveness. I also acknowledge my inability to forgive them apart from you. Therefore, from my heart, I choose to forgive. And you put in whosoever name you want to forgive there. I bring under the blood of Jesus all that they have done wrong to me. They no longer owe me anything. I remit their sins against me. Heavenly Father, as my Lord Jesus asks you to forgive those who have sinned against him, I pray that your forgiveness will come to those who have sinned against me. I ask that you will bless them and lead them into a closer relationship with you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you so
Amen.
Much for this evening. I praise the Lord that if you're holding offense, that you let go of it. Don't have that millstone around your neck. I thank you. I thank the Lord for this time and pray that the word has been good and beneficial to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We do thank you for tuning in once again. We do thank you for tuning in once again. For those of you that like to archive, you can go to the archive, New Beginnings. I'm sorry, Blog Talk Radio, and type in We Can Begin Again. And that will take you to the archive. So you can
caught by the questions in my mind. It's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I had lost it seems from the shadow of a dream that used to be. I can.